This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
And like not more than 3 minutes later, some dude comes up, "Hey man, can you sign my mat?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no problem." So I sign the mat, and then I like go back to the trade, and the guy looks at me, he's like, "Should I know who you are?" And I'm like, "No, not really."
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to you by ManaDeprived.com and 60cards.com. Check us out.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound me in the ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
I don't know about you guys, or I'm just mind-tricking myself constantly.
Jay Boosh.
They're of a different culture, KYT. They prefer their magic untainted by the internet.
Scotty.
Then you just pull the fucking Mind Slaver and you just dome them with their own dude. That's entertainment.
And Medina.
I'm on camera and I'm like, "Oh man, don't blink. Act like you meant to do this."
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 99 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, as always, with Mr. Scotty Mack, Jonathan Medina, and Jay Boosh. How's it going, fellas?
Pretty sick.
Fucking horrible.
It's going
this
good.
Modern fucking sucks. By the way.
What are you playing?
Modern, and it's fucking horrible.
Why do you say that?
Because it's shit garbage.
Yeah, what deck are you playing, bro?
Cedric Phillips Living End, I guess.
Okay, oh, well, that's the reason.
Why. Yeah.
Anyway.
You you can't beat anything, any deck that has two fucking land.
Correct. Yeah. I have to respectfully disagree with your overall statement of the format and instead just say that the deck that you're playing is poorly positioned for enjoyment.
This deck sucks. Sucks a big bag of dicks.
Because I'm pretty pleased with the format, I'm just saying. Anyways, sorry folks for the terrible audio tonight, but I do actually have someone else here with me. It's at Rubdown King on Twitter. It's my brother Duncan. He's actually here, so say hi.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
So, yeah, you kind of have to deal with the fact that he's getting married tomorrow, so if I want to do the show at his house, I kind of have to run away. So that's what we're doing.
Sweet.
Yay!
We should have Kyle play, like, "Here Comes the Bride" music when we announce Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's really nice of you, John. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that'd be sweet.
Make him cry more.
Yeah, that's all I need to know is that I'm just being more, you know, emasculated every fucking minute of this day that I need to be told that you want to play that music.
Yeah, welcome to Barrage, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
I used to be a real badass before I got married.
It's true.
Well, he's Mexican, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah. And now I'm not. No.
So in all fairness, though, I mean, you were able to, you know, measure some of your badassery against the other pimps in the water when you were at Gen Con this last week, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, small victories, you know. That's one of the things that happens when you get married. After you get married, you find something that you're really good at, and then you just hold on to that thing. Because that's the only way that you still know that you're a man. You know what I mean? So trading is one of those things for me. I have a bunch of things that I'm really good at. I don't know. I just worked out that way. And so trading is one of those things. So I got to do some trading. Trading has been going downhill in the last couple of years. And I talked about this on the cast before, so I'm not going to get too much into it because I don't want another "tasted Medina" comment on the podcast.
There were so
many
of them.
Shout out to Mark Larson, by the way. So, So what's happening here is there's a bunch of little binder grinders, you know, people who are wanting to become like big time traders, and they're just like, they fill the room. So like, it's kind of like walking into like, I don't know, it's like one of those like multiplex office buildings where they have all these doctor offices. And like when you're walking by the doctor offices and you look inside and there's a bunch of people in the waiting room, like at each doctor's office, right? That's kind of what's going on the trade floor. Like you look and there's a shark and like two people lined up. Shark and then two people lined up. Shark and then it's just like, I don't want to, like, I want to trade with those people. I don't want to trade with the sharks. You know, they're just going to waste my time. So it's just this, it's a very delicate balance. Like you have to find the sharks who are willing to do like a little stock exchange where they take something that they need and you take what you need and then it like works out. But there's like, man, there was this little kid and his name was Noah. And it's not Noah Winston, just so you know. That's another little kid. People who are familiar with the trading community really? Know who Noah Winston is.
There's another kid that's like trying to be a mastermind trader.
It's funny because there's two little kids who are trading, right? And one of them is Noah Winston, and this kid is a baller. Okay, he's like a little redhead kid, and I had done deals with him online before, and he's like really plays hardball, right, online, and we've done deals for like power and stuff like that, and so like I met him like at another Gen Con like last year or something, and when I met him, I was like, what the hell? Like, he comes up to me, he's like, hey, how's it going? And it's like glasses, like red hair, like barely comes up to my knee. I'm like, hey, how can I help you? You know, do you need to find your mom or your dad or what's going on? And he's like, I'm Noah. And I'm like, oh, Noah who? He's like, I'm Noah Winston. I'm like, you're Noah Winston? Like this guy who's been playing hardball with me over emails, like taking my power at like higher price or at lower prices. This is Noah Winston. And he's like, yeah. So you want to trade? He opens up his binder, you know? I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like I'm in way over my head. This kid's a freaking genius or something. So anyways, I see him like grinding with the dealers and just like beating the crap out of the dealers, getting them to pay all this high amounts. And ever since that Gen Con, I'm like, oh man, Noah Winston's a baller. Anyways, he started his own shop. So he's floating around the trade floor at this Gen Con, right? Like a year or two later. So there's that Noah. Then there's this other kid that I didn't even know about until this year. He comes up to me and he's like, you want to trade? And I'm like, sure. So I give him my binder and I'm looking through his binder. And then he's like, what do you got on the Restoration Angels? I'm like, 13. He's like, all right, flips the page. What do you got on this card? And I'm like, give him a number. And he's like, okay, flips the page. And I'm like, is he like testing me? Is he trying to get me? So like, sure enough, there's a Wasteland in my binder that has marker all over the back. Okay. But in the front, it looks good. And so he gives me, he goes, what on the Wasteland? And I'm like, 35. Wastelands are not $35. They're like 45 or 50, you know? So he pulls it out. He's like, okay, I'll take that. And I'm like, man, this kid is trying to work me like a mechanic. Look at this kid. So I just smiled because I knew like once he turned the Wasteland around, he's going to see that it's not, you know, $45 Wasteland. So anyways, he turns it around. And he's like, oh yeah, puts it back. I don't want it. So he shuts the binder and he's like, I didn't see anything but this Thrag Tusk. What do you want on the Thrag Tusk? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me find some stuff. I'm like, I want some Price of Progress. He had some Price of Progress in there. Price of Progress are about $3 or $4, you know? So I figure like at least three Price of Progress and something else. So I put two Price of Progress on the table. He's like, do you want to do it for that? And I'm like, so you want me to trade you like these two Price of Progress for this Thrag Tusk, like $8 for like $14. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much what I see. That's what I can do. And I'm just like, all right, dude, I'm fine. Like here, have your cards back. See you later. So yeah, so that was this is this little shark who was floating around the you know the building, and we were hearing all these stories about him trying to you know rip people off or whatever. So trading is not the greatest anymore. You know, I did all right, but I didn't do as good as previous Gen Cons.
Now, do you think that has anything to do with your reputation preceding you, or does that just have everything to do with the fact that your tenure at Star City taught everyone how to outshark you?
I think it has to do with, I don't think it has to do with my reputation at all. I don't think people don't trade with me because of who I am, except for like a handful of people, but a lot of people don't know who I am, you know?
How is that possible?
I think at Gen Con, it's just like a more casual crowd, like, you know, and they just don't. And plus, I'm not like, I mean, I'm no Brian Kibler or anything, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm kind of like Magic player, like celebrities or maybe like D celebrities. And I'm kind of like a, like an F celebrity, like way even below the D celebrities, you know? So like I'm
That's really funny because that's exactly like what my brother just said.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if someone, you know, if you're on the street, no one's going to recognize who the hell you're. No one even knows who Brian Kibler is on the street. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, there's a more casual crowd. There was a guy I was trading with, and someone came up to me, and she's like, her and her boyfriend are like, hey, can we get a picture with you? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I love it when stuff like that happens because I feel like a superstar, you know? So we took a picture, and then I sat back down to finish the trade. And like not more than 3 minutes later, some dude comes up, hey man, can you sign my mat? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I signed the mat and then I like go back to the trade and the guy looks at me. He's like, should I know who you are? And I'm like, no, not really. And then I just kept trading. I didn't even explain it. So yeah, so trades was okay. The cards that I was hitting like was basically stuff that I was out of stock on. Like, back when I was a binder grinder, it mattered, like, what cards were going to go up and what cards were going to go down, and all that stuff used to matter. None of that stuff matters now. Like, all that matters is what I have on the site and what I don't have on the site and what I sell and what I don't sell. Like, the rest of the stuff I just don't care about. I'm not even trying to get value most of the time. Most of the time, I'm just trying to trade cards I can't sell for cards I can sell. And so it's just a whole different game now. I just, picked up as many Bonfire, Restoration Angels, Snapcaster Mage, Gristle Brands, like all those cards, like I will take every single one that I see, and that's all I really care about, you know?
All right.
So it was okay.
So since you won at the trade tables, how'd you do with Vintage Champs?
Oh, Vintage Champs was a lot of fun. Vintage Champs was a lot of fun. I noticed
that you didn't start with, oh, I took that shit down.
Well, obviously. I mean, come on. It's, you know, I'm not even that good of a player. So, like, on top of not being a good player, I never play Vintage. So, you know, those compound it, like, makes me have a not good record.
So, did this have anything to do with the fact that you decided to try to take a Talran deck, you know, from your FNM hero plus power into this event, or what?
Well, I mean, the Talran deck was fine. There was Mark Horung, who won Vintage Champs last year. He was playing the Talran deck in the preliminaries. So me and him were brewing it. So he liked it. You know, he thought it was a pretty decent deck. So I was playing the Talran deck, and I thought the deck was okay. My play was just bad. You know, like, it's just like I didn't play that well, you know. I just kind of like, there was a game that I could have won if I just got Talran with a Demonic Tutor. I was playing against one of those creature decks where they have like Kuzali Pride Mage and just a bunch of hate creatures like Dahlia and stuff like that. And that deck just can't beat Talran because they just have stupid tutus, and like you just play Talran and then you make an army and they just can't swing through it. So I didn't do that. Instead, I tried to like put Time Vault Key together and take infinite turns. But obviously, that was the stupidest thing I could do because he has like infinite Pride Mages. So like I go to get the Key Vault, and then he's just like Pride Mage. And I'm like, oh, well, I fucking lose then because I have no tutors left. And he has a Pride Mage just locking me out of Vault Keying him. And he's just beating me with the Pride Mage, like 3 damage, like over and over again, and I'm just like, I can't do anything. I have no creatures. So I went 2-3. I beat a dredge deck, and then I beat another blue deck. It was like a gush fast bond deck, and this guy was like, he was a little bit cocky, you know. Some of these Vintage players, you know, they play a lot of Vintage, so he must have been really pissed when I beat him, because like I was obviously a scrub because I was playing Talran in my deck, first of all, and second of all, like I never play Vintage. So I sit down with him and he goes, do you play a lot of Vintage? I'm like, no, I don't. I never really play Vintage. And he's like, yeah, I usually do pretty good at these tournaments. And I'm like, oh, good for you, you know, who cares, right? And so we're playing and I just like, just destroy him because I have Thoughtseize in my deck. And he's playing a blue deck and like, Thoughtseize is just insane against these blue decks because all they have is like one piece of business and 100 counterspells, right? So I'm just like Thoughtseize, and then they're like, oh, use a counterspell. And I'm like, okay, untap Thoughtseize. Oh, okay, use a counterspell. And then I'm just like, oh, by the way, I'm just going to win because you have no more counterspells, you know. So yeah, I crushed that guy, which was fun. Beat a dredge deck, but then I lost to workshops. And I feel like the listener base right now is just like, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah. So is Vintage...
That was like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it was actually 10 minutes ago we were sleeping when you were talking about trading, but in the meantime, like, so is there actually a Vintage metagame? Like, does that actually exist? Or is it literally just like a pro tour which you brew for this one tournament and then call it a day?
Yeah, there's a Vintage metagame. The Vintage metagame is made up of like three pillars. The first pillar is Talran. No, I'm just joking. So yeah, the Vintage metagame is made up of ritual decks, which is basically like you play a bunch of rituals and then Tendrils of Agony them. Workshop decks, which is uses Mitra's Workshop to power out big artifacts and like lock people out of the game. And like blue, basically like blue based decks, like mana drain decks that use mana drain stuff to protect like a combo like Vault Key or Tinker. Stuff like that. So you just have to prepare for those. Oh, and there's also like Noble Hierarch decks, which use like Null Rod and stuff. Well, now they use Stony Silence, but they use Stony Silence to shut off the artifacts, and then they just beat you up at 2-2. So those are kind of the pillars. You have the metagame for those. Go ahead.
No, I was just to say that makes a lot of sense. And I can see that Stony Silence would be like beyond insane in Vintage. Because it's
basically it's
like,
really bad.
It's almost like Armageddon, right? Like, it's really just rough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a regular format. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about Vintage, like that it ends on, you know, turn one or whatever. And it doesn't usually end on turn one. You know, there's a lot of room for decisions and stuff like that.
Cool. So anything else exciting happened at Gen Con?
Not really. It was mainly for me, Gen Con was Vintage Champs, and it was... It was trading. I did get to talk to Steve Menendian, which was awesome.
Does he still know lawyers?
He was in the top eight of a Vintage preliminary, you know? And so when you win the preliminary, you get like buys and stuff. So he was trying to win it, and some guy played a gift send given on him, and he picked, like, I think he picked wrong. And so, like, after the match, I went up to him, and it was, like, a little bit after the match, like an hour or so, I ran into him, and I'm like, hey, Steve, I got a question for you. I go, you were in that Vintage prelim, and you were in the top eight, and you're playing this guy, and he played a Gifts Ungiven. And what he picked was Time Vault, and I was kind of, like, thinking about it. I was like, it was Time Vault, Key, Talaran Academy, and then he's like, yeah. He's like, you're like listing it like it wasn't seared into my brain, okay? And I'm just like, okay. He's like, yeah. He had an Academy ruin, so I didn't want to pick the Vault Key. Or he gave me some explanation. I'm like, oh, okay. I just wanted to know, you know, why you picked like that. But I was cracking up at that because he's like, as if it wasn't seared into my brain.
So it's really terrible because you know what? I really want to go to Gen Con next year. Like, I really, 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 really do. But you make it sound so not exciting.
Like, what do you want me to say, you know?
So I went to Gen Con, and I saw, like, so many people that I knew on Twitter. Like, most of my Twitter army was there.
And porn stars.
And they all came to see me and shook my hand and said, John, great work on the A-Team. I'm so... No, nobody would ever say that.
You know what? You know what? A lot of people did say that, though. A lot of people were like, hey, man, I listen to the podcast. I really love you guys. And fuck Jay Bush. Like, stuff like that, which was awesome, I thought.
See, but why didn't you, like, count the number of people? How many playmats did you sign? Just the one when you were trading with some kid, or what?
I signed 3 playmats.
That's just 3. Okay. How many people told you that they loved the show?
Probably about 7.
And how long were you there for?
I was there a long time, man. I got there on Thursday, and I stayed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Shit.
I worked on Saturday. I worked from, like, noon until 7 a.m. on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was, I mean, that's another thing, though. Like, I'm at those trade tables just working, man. I'm not, like, trying to go around and meet people and sign playmats and shit. Like, I'm there trying to get some bonfires and some Snapcaster mages. That's it, man. People, like, from my local store, like, came over. They're like, what's up, Medina? I'm like, hey, how's it going? They're like, come hang out with us. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of busy, man. So... So, like, I didn't move from my chair. I mean, they talked me into going with them to this hentai cafe. Have you guys ever heard about this?
No. Wait. No, but it sounds like it's going to be absurdly exciting. You should definitely carry on.
Have you guys heard
about
this? What this is?
Much better than trading.
This is
much better than trading.
This is the craziest shit, okay? So, like, they're like, Medina, come with us to this hentai cafe. I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm trading. I'm really busy. And they're like, come on. It's like, and I'm like, what is it? They're like, oh, it's like got a show and there's coffee and like blah, blah, blah. And I had been trading. It was about, you know, 10 o'clock at night. So I had been trading for, I don't know, at least 12 hours, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go get some coffee. Like, coffee sounds good. So, like, we start walking over there and there's this, like, freaking huge line to get in. And I'm like, man, there's a long line for this cafe. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, I'm like, I don't know, guys. Like, I don't want to wait around in line. And there's just people trading in line. So I'm like, you know, I guess I'll hang out and, like, do some trades while I'm waiting, like, whatever. So, like, I'm trading, waiting, blah, blah. We get into this thing. It's 4 tickets, like, event tickets. You buy these, like, generic tickets or whatever. So I'm like, oh, good thing I had these event tickets just sitting in my pocket. So I'm like, okay, here's these 4 event tickets. I go in there. First fail, right? You sit down, it's like an auditorium. There's no coffee. It's only alcoholic drinks, right? And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, I came here for some coffee. There's no coffee. It's all alcoholic drinks. And I'm just like, all right, whatever. Like, I'll hang out. I don't want to, like, just be a total douche and, like, walk out to go trade. Like, it's kind of like, it seems like I might just have a problem if I do that, you know, like a serious, like, psychological problem or something. So I'm just like, oh, I might as well just sit here and, like, see whatever this show is, right? So the MC comes up and he's like, hey, I want to introduce to you these whatever girls, like, they're, I don't know what they call them, the such and such girls, right? And so there's these, like, 4 chicks that they're all dressed, like, different. Like, one of them's dressed like Princess Leia, the other one's dressed like some other geek chick, and, like, so they're all, like, different dressed, and they're dressed a little bit scantily clad, you know? And they're like, they're going to be helping us out tonight. And I'm like, oh, this is cool, I guess, whatever. And so they go, what we need from you guys is two members of the audience to form 2 teams. So they basically go through the audience, right? I think KYT knows what this is, and he just, like, isn't letting it on yet. So they get 2 teams from the audience, and they say, okay, we're going to play Geek. Trivia Pursuit or some shit. I don't know. You know that thing where the survey says and they, like, pick these answers and, like, so they basically had this survey. They asked all the people at Gen Con, like, pick a famous wizard, right? And then there's, like, the top 6 answers of the famous wizards, right? So, like, so what happens is, okay, so now I'm starting to, like, be curious because there's 2 girls now standing up on the stage and there's 2 teams, right? And so I guess the arrangement is this. Every time one team wins a point, their girl takes off an article of clothing. Okay? So the way that it works is they basically both go at it until both of the girls are naked, right? So I'm just like blown away. I'm like, holy shit, this is happening inside of Gen Con. Like, you're paying event tickets to come in here and watch these girls like strip down. Like, this is insane, you know? And so like, I'm just blown away. And, you know, after a few answers, like, first of all, the answers are shitty because, like, you would think, like, these girls would get naked really quick, but it didn't happen that way. Like, the answers were, like, they're, like, name a famous wizard, right? And so, like, everyone in the audience, like, Voldemort, Voldemort, Voldemort. So the guy's like, okay, Voldemort. And it's like, not on the board. And I'm like, how could Voldemort not be on the board? Like, come on. Like, this is a famous wizard, right? So like all of these different things, all these questions, nobody was getting. The one that was super hard that they got zero on, they're like, name an enemy from Mega Man, right?
Dr. Wily, Snapcraft.
Yeah, obviously Dr. Wily's the first answer, right? Yeah. But nobody's getting it. They're like, Rockman. And I'm just like, I'm like, Dr. Wily. I'm like, come on, you fucking idiots. Like, and then they're like, you know, and Gemini was another one, Gutsman, like all these things, right? So I'm just like, Mega Man was my game, you know? So I'm like yelling all these things, and like, they're just like, Iceman. And I'm just like, no, you know? so they didn't get any of them. They finally like revealed them, and Dr. Wily was one of them, Gutsman, Cutman, and all this other stuff. So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's trading to be done. So I took off. I was like, hey guys, you know, thanks for inviting me. I'm getting out of here. So yeah.
Medina. Yeah. You know how I know you're either married or gay?
How?
Yeah. Cause you'll carry on.
I had to leave, man. I can't, like, I'm going to have to, like, I have to be honest with my wife, right?
Yeah. And,
like,
yeah.
What's my wife going to say when I'm like, oh yeah, I sat there and watched these girls get naked. Like, yeah, you just can't, like, there's no coming back from that, you know? There's no coming back. Like, you can't, you know, you gotta be honest, and you can't. Yeah. So in order to keep my marriage intact, I left and went and traded for the rest of the evening. So yeah.
Well, I can promise you that, when I go to Gen Con next year, I will come back with better stories.
I think you will, because you won't be sitting at a trade table all day, you know, trading for cards, like, which is really boring for people who don't do that, you know?
Well, see, John, I have a lot of difficulty believing, like, that you would even be able to dress up a trade. Be like, yeah, you know what? Well, then again, I guess you wrote the whole Pact of Power thing, and I guess people read that. But, like, I kind of, you know, oh my god, it was amazing. I asked him, what do you value your restoration angels at? And he looked me square in the eye. And I could see the twitch in his left brow. And he said, 8. And it was all that I could do to stop from jumping across the table and just stealing them all. Like, I don't know, man. Really?
Like, no, it's not even like that. I mean, the best thing is when you get the sharks, you know? That's the best thing. And then you tell the stories about that. And then you're like, dumbass, like, he freaking, you know, totally missed this, you know?
Okay, stuff, but seriously, like, seriously though, listen. When I came down to Star City, Cincinnati, and I saw you and Ryan sit down across from one another, and you passed each other your binders, and you went through them all, and you went through this whole exercise, hey, what do you have this at? What do you have that at? What do you have this at? What do you have that at? Like, you guys didn't actually do anything. You just kind of were like, yep, pass the binders back and call it a night. Like, what's so exciting about that?
Yeah, but we're not trading adversarially. Like, me and Ryan are friends, so we don't, like, go at each other, you know? Like, when there's other sharks that I'm not friends with, I'm going to get them, you know? That's just the way it is. Like,
So who are some of the sharks that are out there that you're not friends with?
There's especially random sharks that don't show me any respect. I definitely get those guys. And, you know, and people who know me, like, I will purposely screw a trade up for me. Like, I will purposely, like, people who know me from, like, writing and stuff, I will purposely misvalue things so that they can get a deal. Because I'd much rather them go back to their friends and be like, oh, man, I totally nailed Medina, man. He said, like, freaking 10 on his restoration angels. Ah, can you believe it? Like, that's insane. Then be like, what is that worth? Oh, man, Medina told me that was worth, like, $2, you know? That would be, like, the worst for me. So, So, like, the sharks, I get them. The people I know, I usually give them a little something-something, you know?
So, like, overall, Gen Con, if you had to rate it this year versus, like, last year, because you go all the time, better or worse than last year?
See, like, the way I'm grading it is on a trading scale. It's not on a, like, I think you should come because whatever, here's the thing about Gen Con. Whatever you like to do in gaming, it's going to be there in full force, okay? So, like, I like to trade. So I went and traded for, like, you know, 20 hours straight. Like, that was like, oh, man, I just traded for 20 hours. That's awesome. You guys are thinking, oh, man, that's miserable. That sucks, okay? But anything you like to do in gaming, you can do it to the max. You can play EDH pods all day long. You can play vintage all day long. You can, like, there's food everywhere, like, just all kinds of different food you can try. There's, like, there's these places there. Like, I went and I got one of these things. My friend Bernie Nguyen, he comes up, and it's funny because he kind of wears, like, a ring, and he's got a little bling bling, you know? He comes up with this chalice that is just this chalice that they're selling down the street that they fill up with, like, alcohol and stuff, and I'm like, oh, man. I want one of these chalices because it looks real pimp, like walking around with this chalice, you know? So, like, there's all these crazy things happening, and you could partake in any of them. So, like, every game that you want to play, they were demoing Soulforge, so you could play Soulforge for the first time. You know, the dealer hall is just packed with every kind of game and every kind of, like, deal that you could ever want. Like, it's just all this stuff is going on. I just don't partake in any of that. I just go, I get my business done, and I go home.
That's too bad. That's really disappointing. Like, it's cool that it's such an awesome time, but I feel like, listeners, if you want to find out more about Gen Con, you should listen to, like, Brainstorm Brewery, because I think, like, both Jason and Marcel both went, and I think they had, like, an insane time. So if you want to find out more about how insane of a time you would actually have at Gen Con, go listen to that podcast.
Yeah, don't ask the guy who's running a freaking card store how Gen Con was when I'm over there, like, on the biggest trading, like, mecca of the world.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not going to be trading, you know? Of course I'm going to be trading, like.
All right. So okay. So at this here Gen Con event. Oh, okay. So here's the next one. How much money did you make, John?
How much money did I make? I brought home.
How much value did you trade?
There you go.
I don't even know. Like, here's what I brought home that was, like, the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
I brought home over 30 Restoration Angels, 20 Snapcaster Mages, 20 Gristle Brands, 20 Talrans, and a huge collection that I bought. Like, they had pretty much, like, 4 Tarmogoyfs, 4 of, like, everything modern, pretty much.
Nice. So holy shit, was TSG there?
yeah. I mean, I bought all that stuff from TSG, so. Oh, man. That's just, that was the worst, by the way. That was the worst. Oh, man. I loved Jay's rant on it last episode. It was great.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
So, yeah, so I made a pretty good profit.
Or Legit's going to turn a pretty sick penny up.
Yeah, Legit is fully stocked now on Standard, and then stocked with a lot of Legacy stuff too, so I'm really pumped about that. We got a bunch of Judge Foils, like we got 4 of like infinite Judge Foils. It was just like, it was really, really good.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah.
So in addition to the trade floors and the insane people that were at Gen Con, World Magic Cup was a thing, right? Like that happened this week?
Yeah, I didn't even get to watch it. That's the thing that sucked.
So,
I think I seen Helen, what's her name? Helen Bergeau?
Yep.
I think I seen her walking by. That was like,
nice.
You know, one of the things.
So, KYT, we tried really hard. Like, we had a pretty sweet Standard deck.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed like everybody was not playing at their optimal level.
Well, at the beginning, I guess, in day one. But day two, it didn't seem like they had decent decks at all on day two. They lost, you know, Rich Hagon made a big deal of us, like, getting a huge upset, like, loss against, we were upset by the
Puerto Rico.
What? Which was a big
surprise. Who then went ahead and upset the U.S., by the way. So, like, at least if they're going to beat if they're going to beat us, they might as well beat the States too and then radically shit the bed. Way to go, Puerto Rico.
Oh, thanks, man. So much. So wait, what happened? Like, can you just tell me who won and like what decks and like, cause I have no idea, man.
So we were, so Team Canada for their standard decks basically picked like a blue-green Delver list, which is almost like a Miracle-Gro, which actually did really well. I think that overall, I feel like Team Canada did a really good job of sort of like metagaming their expectations.
Against each other? Because they knew each other's decks?
Because they knew each other's decks.
You fucker.
Thank you, Captain.
Yeah, well done, sir. No, I truly believe that they kind of had, you know, the good expectation in terms of what to play, and I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, maybe there were some bad choices, some bad draws, some bad luck. Like, I mean, chalk it up to whatever you want. I mean, Magic's a game of variance, right? And I mean, nobody can play optimally every day, every second of every day. But I think that regardless, I think we picked the right decks, and I feel like we it was enjoyable to watch. And I think that, you know, as a consumer of this product, I think that's a really positive thing. I really actually was invested in, you know, following along who was doing what, how well it was all going, and I think that they really succeeded in this. I mean, everyone was really apprehensive about how they were going to handle the whole Worlds piece, you know, being missing. I feel like they did a pretty good job, I gotta say.
When is that? Did that 16 player tournament already go down, or when's
coming? No, out? That happens in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I think, like, I guess one of the fails for me was, like, the World Cup or whatever was going on, and I was at Gen Con, and I didn't even, like, I knew it was going on because, like, I knew that that's where it was happening. But, like, I didn't know, like, they weren't announcing it or anything. They weren't like, World Cup happening now, you know?
John. We need to make sure that we say World Magic Cup. Otherwise, we're going to get sued.
World Magic Cup happening now, you know? Nothing like that. It was just, like, you know, a bunch of duders sitting around. I didn't really even know where this was happening. So, like...
It's over?
Yeah, maybe I would have went and watched Alex play, but, like, I didn't even know, like, where, you know? Like, I felt like they did a really poor job of, like, telling people where that would be, you know? Where can I find this Canadian deck list? I'm looking on Daily MTG, and I can't find it.
Lucas Seow actually was able to do a deck tech for the blue-green Delver list, and he did it with BDM. He did a pretty good job. We talked about it, actually,
On Wednesday,
because Wednesday night we ran the first official Modern Mastery with Mr. Scotty Mac on a legit MTG stream. It was pretty sweet. But no, he did a really good job. He was with BDM, and like BDM's just a huge CL fan in general, right? And did he do it with BDM or was it with Zach Hill? I can't remember. Some things just can't be unheard, though.
BDM.
Was it with BDM? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Nice. But, and Kyle will put the link to that in the show notes, of course, because that's what Kyle does. See, we're going to miss you, Kyle.
Oh, man, this is really a problem for me. I've been wanting to run this blue-green deck. I've been wanting to run it for FNM Hero. But the problem is that it runs 4 Cavernous Souls.
And they're like $20 a piece, and that's like way out of the budget of the FNM Hero.
Way out of the budget. Oh, man, that's really a bummer. Man, they have 4 Talrands? Holy shit.
You know what you should do? Is you should trade your Phantasmal images towards Cavernous Souls.
I can't. It runs 2 Phantasmal images.
See,
I'm going to lose.
I think you've got to decide what's more important here, John.
I think what's more important is that they're running asleep or 2 of them in the sideboard, which seems sick.
You know, I have to tell you, I've been playing a lot of Modern lately with the rug list, and I can really get behind asleep because the whole, like, Snapcaster Cryptic Command thing is
a blue day
fucking unreal. It's a blue day of judgment, as Rubdown King will say.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard about that, where they're just, like, sleep, hit you. Untap, Snapcaster sleep, kill you.
It's ridiculous.
It's just like, oh, that's retarded.
Yeah, yeah. So your window for that is limited, though. As it wasn't reprinted in M13.
Yeah, it was. It's M13, bro.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Oh, God.
It's one of my favorite arts, too, because, like, all these people are just, like, sleeping with a horse and stuff. It's, like, so sweet.
That's insane.
What do you think about that, Jay?
About sleep?
Yeah.
I'm fucking bagged. I can go to bed right now.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. I'm sure I've brought it up before. Somebody like Doug Potter. Go back and research me talking about sleep in standard like a year and a half ago. And I'm sure everybody just told me I was a fucking idiot. So.
Yeah, you mean a year and a half ago when it wasn't good?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. I don't want to turn this into a pissing match because then the listeners might get mad and comment, you know?
You just don't want all the listeners to comment less Medina.
Yeah. It's getting a little bit depressing. It is getting a little depressing.
I don't know where it's all coming from, but some of them are really funny. I'm sorry.
I mean, it must be coming from I'm just really not that good, you know?
You gotta look inside yourself. You gotta look in the mirror. Yeah. You can't be looking outwards.
I'm doing some soul searching, man.
You gotta look inside.
How do I become better, listeners? Help me.
No, you gotta look inside. I just...
So, Jay, you just played your first modern match while you've been all quiet.
Yeah.
You were playing Cedric Phillips' Living Endless?
Yeah.
So you did your opponent get to three land?
Yeah.
And numerous you still
times.
Won?
Yeah, I got lucky, I guess. I just kept making him use his counter spells like he should have been doing on every card I played, which sucked. And then one time he just didn't have the counter spell.
And you just got there.
Yeah. And I keep forgetting that, like, Living End is a Wrath as well. So he is, like, I'm at, like, 9 life on turn 2 or 3 because I, like, cycled 4 Street Wraiths and played an untapped Shockland and went through, like, 12 cards in my deck and then finally found a fucking Cascade spell and then drew another one, which was lucky for me because I played the one and then he countered it and then I played the second one. Of course, he didn't have the counter. So I got it. And then I'm like, but he had 2 unflipped Delvers. So I was like, man, if I'm at 9 life and he unflips those Delvers, I am hosed. and then I just, of course, then I remembered that it fucking crushes him. So, but I mean, like, that, like, it's just, oh, man, it's, I feel like I did the first time I played any type of Magic, like the first time I played EDH, and I'm like, yeah, my deck's real great, and then you go and play, and like, you don't know any of the cards, and people are just like, just rape you, and then you're like, oh, sweet, this deck sucks, like, I don't know what I do if he plays like a Tormod's Crypt, or probably infinite better things in Modern.
Turn 2 Geist of Saint Traft.
Yeah, like, what do I do? Like, okay, I guess I cycle this.
I mean, you are playing a crappy deck, so that could be part of it.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Modern, but I'm, like, Moto bankrupt, so I have to just play with what I'm given. And Chris Plummer came through from Meet the Cast.
Ooh, that guy's
and
cool.
Donated the entire deck, and I was like, yeah. And then, it was so mentally taxing that I, like, just basically, like, put my microphone on mute and went and had, like, a 15-minute nap while Jonathan Medina was talking.
Yeah, what a team player.
But you gotta support your team through thick and thin, even when they're, like, more boring than church, and they put you just right to sleep.
Hey, man, I have to sit here and listen to you rant about stupid shit and talk about the booze cube for, like, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm here the whole time, bro. Listening, you know, supporting.
You're not ever there. You're an idiot. Like,
I'm giving you listener sounds, you know, like yeah. Oh, that's funny. Oh,
that is Kyle edits those in.
Oh man,
that's like those sounds that you get from the chicks that aren't interested.
I wouldn't know what that sounds like, Scott.
Yeah. You know.
You
clearly haven't been married long enough. Anyways, so Jay, overall, how many decks have you faced at this point in Modern? Like, how do you feel about just one?
Yeah. I feel like in the deck that I'm playing, if my opponent's playing blue and gets to two lands,
you're pretty much screwed.
And I just lose the game. And I feel like if I'm playing against, like, say, Jund or a green deck, if they get to two land, then I'm just screwed.
I played against that deck with Jund, and it was really hard to beat. Are you playing, like, Fulminator Mage's main?
Yes.
Then how do you lose to Jund?
I don't know. I didn't play Jund. I'm speculating here.
Oh, okay. Incorrectly, then I'm.
I mean, like, I gotta get to three lands and like not be at like fucking 10 life.
Oh man, that's easy, bro.
Oh. So yeah, so I don't know. Modern will probably just suck because I'm like new to it, so I'll probably just not like it.
What? Okay, come on.
That whole fearing change thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It's kind of like, you know, like I don't know if it's worth learning and like...
Okay, you're going to fly over to Toronto and put your happy face on. That's what's going to happen, okay? Because I fucking...
Like, maybe I should just get PSAMs to teach me how to play Jund, or like Corbin to teach me how to play Fish.
Yeah, I'd go with PSAM. Well, no, then maybe I would.
What, Jund? Like, don't play Jund or Fish, man.
What should I play? Tell me.
You like Merfolk.
You should play this Rug Delver deck. Or you should play, like, you know, Birthing Pod.
No, I want to play a deck that is easy.
White black token.
Those decks are easy.
The deck you're currently playing is easy.
Well, no, I don't mean like retarded easy, like a fucking like Foghorn Leghorn could play it.
Now cut that out, boy, or I'll spank you where the feathers are thinnest.
I think seriously, so Lucas and I were talking about it last night, and if you want to play a deck that's like literally stupid easy, like just balls out all day, it's white black tokens, not clones. Like,
what, you try to push that in every format.
I'm just telling you. Listen, go back and watch the stream.
Oh my god, did Shaheen put you on this?
Rug Delver doesn't have a chance. Rug Delver cannot beat white black tokens unless it fucking sideboards exclusively for it. Like, it just doesn't. If you want a stupid, cheap, like, dumb deck that's going to do fine, white black tokens is where it's at. So I'm saying. If you've got enough discard, like Thoughtseizes and Scholars and stuff, to be able to put off a deck like Tron or Storm from going off, white black's fine. It's a perfectly serviceable deck.
Perfectly serviceable.
I think that deck is shitty, by the
way. Well, all I'm saying is that right now, like, it's probably not optimal against Pod, right? Because it, like, you can't really interact to disrupt it enough. But aside from that, it probably just like shits in the cornflakes of every other deck in the format.
Is Birthing Pod actually a deck in Modern?
It's like the deck in Modern, bro.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's awesome, man.
Just play, like, you know, some, you play Jund with like some main deck fucking...
Is that black white?
Vithian Stingers?
You can play that black white zombie deck.
Yeah, it pushed my shit in on Wednesday.
Yeah, is that a real deck?
I don't know.
It sounds insane, like Restoration Angel on your Tidehall Scholar or on your Drawls Messenger, or like Profane Command and kill you.
So, yeah. Profane Command as a spell, I completely underestimated the crap out of that deck, of that card.
That's a great
spell. But like being able to give all you guys fear and like kill your angel or something is not to be overlooked. Against any non-blue deck, that card's retarded.
Oh, man.
You know what? Everybody seems to be all on board with the new hotness, though, for Modern. Like, the blue-white-red Delver deck with Scepters and Geist and all that stuff. Like, the Max Teets and Shahar Shenar, I think, both played versions of it at GP Columbus to some effect. That seems to be sort of like the new hotness that everybody's gravitating towards, just because it's a really good aggro control list that is trying to be the fastest fair deck in the format.
Is there not a deck where turn two Geist is good?
Well, that's the next one, right? Is so where do people go from there, right? And at that point in time, do you just build, like, the Noble... Do you build Mythic, right? Because, and I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to run, you know, conscription nonsense, right? But do you just build the bad deck where you're bashing with a 3-3 Geist and a 4-4 Angel off Noble Hierarch, like, on
that,
turn two?
That just seems crappy, because then you're just, like... They just storm you, or they kiki-jiki you.
Yeah. Well, and truthfully, I feel like it's the only thing, like, the lack of disruption in that deck is the only thing that's potentially keeping it down.
Yeah, like, Geist is really not that scary in Modern. Like I was playing, when I was playing Modern at the GP, I was, like, all scared of Geist because of how good it is in Standard. Like, someone played it against me, I'm like, I don't give a shit about that card. Like, I'm just going to kill this guy. I'm so glad he tapped out. Corda calling, you're dead.
Filthy combo player.
And then, like, Alex, even, like, and I was playing against Alex, and I thought my combo was fast. Freaking guy just, like, turn two storms me, and I'm just like, oh, okay. I guess I don't get to turn three kiki-jiki you. Whoops. Yeah, so I just feel like Geist is not, like, super impressive, like.
Well, and the other thing, too, as long as Tarmogoyf's in the format, right? Like, I mean, even a Tarmogoyf on turn two in Modern is more often than not at least a 2-3.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which is going to more often than not just, like, stop a Geist from coming in.
Yeah, I think the reason why that white, red, blue Delver list was good is because it also had disruption, like Path to Exile and, like, counterspells and stuff like that.
Dude, it runs, like, 4 mana leaks. Four Path to Exile, 4 Lightning Helix, 4 Lightning Bolt. Like, things just don't live, right?
Yeah. And that's why the Geist is okay in that deck, is because they just kill your shit and then they hit you with it, you know?
Yeah, they just keep that.
But, like, that's one of the things I'm most worried about as a pod player is, like, you know, Path to Exile with Counterspell backup, you know?
Yeah.
Because that really is hard to fight through.
Yeah.
But, like, Living End is, like, just seems like the slowest combo deck of the format, and it's crappy, you know?
No, Jay, you suck. I agree with that wholeheartedly, by the way.
I'm not telling Jay he sucks. I'm just trying to give him, like, a better, you know, deck to go play with so he can enjoy Modern.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, like the other thing that seems like it sucks about Modern is, like, every deck is a turn X combo kill you. Like... You can't get past turn two or three. Like, if I want to do that, why wouldn't I play, like, a real format, like Vintage or Legacy?
I agree with that.
Just doesn't seem worth it to me. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm grateful that I'm going to be able to hopefully come out to GP Toronto if we can make it work and et cetera. But just, like, it just seems like I would rather come out there and, like, work for a store and do PR than, like, play 15 matches of who can get to turn four first.
Well, that's what you're fucking doing, okay?
The boss has spoken,
yeah,
sir.
Oh, yeah. I'll just listen. I won't be negative after today about it.
Well, get it all out.
What are you playing, KYT?
I think Rug Delver's up there. Like, I don't want to... I'm going to put in some time to practice so I don't play a semi-automatic deck like Red Green Tron that doesn't really leverage my play skill. Well, in day one, yeah, I guess I get some edge over the more middling players that I face in day one, but day two, you know, I'm gonna get fun by people who are actually playing real decks like Niapod. Like, so
he talking down to the masses.
He's so condescending, you drafter.
Wow.
You fucking drafter,
you dirty drafter.
So
no,
not making the same mistake I did in my last day two GPs where I picked a deck that just wasn't meant to win the entire tournament, I feel. Like, Alex and you tested that matchup, and it was miserable for the Tron deck, and Niapod was, like, the story even before the tournament happened.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we talked about that even, too, right? Like, that was clearly the deck going into the tournament.
So I just went with what I was comfortable with, which explains my decent result, but, like, I didn't cash, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, because I beat Alex with my Niapod deck, and then I beat him with the Tron deck, so it could have been the player on the other end of that one.
Just love trolling the shit out of that guy. Yeah. So funny. But But no, KYT, I hear what you're saying. I think that you are actually better served playing a deck that does reward your skill somewhat. Like, Red-Green Tron, like you said, I mean, it's like playing Valakut back in the day, you know? Like, all you're doing basically is just, you know, ramping, playing. It's almost an autopilot deck. You know, it's also why I wouldn't expect to see you playing Jund, for example. As Duncan points at Jay's picture when I mentioned Valakut. I think that in general, you are definitely going to be well rewarded with playing a deck that has that's going to lend itself to your play skill, for sure.
There's also the other deck I'm considering. I can't believe I'm going to mess his name up because I'm Asian, but like the guy, Shu-Ching Kuo, who won the team event, he played blue-white, I think something that looked like some sort of stone, like, well, Call Blade type style deck, so
yeah.
I'm going to be considering that as well.
Yeah, I would think so. Listen, man, like, Kitchen Fix is a crazy ass card, and being able, the fact that you can just shoehorn it into a blue white list, that's pretty ridiculous.
Definitely.
I hate it when people use the word shoehorn. I just feel like that word's so lame. Go on.
That's okay. I feel the same way about words like trading and churro, but you know, you use them.
Churro? It's churro.
Churro. Churro. Churro and churro.
I don't know what the churro is.
Anyways. But no, you know what? I'm really excited about GP Toronto. I think it's going to be a crazy time, and the fact that, you know, we are all going to be there, right? Like, John, we're going to make this happen for you.
When is it?
December 5th.
Ugh. I don't know, man. My sister's supposed to be getting married on December 1st.
Ooh, sweet. Seems Are you like going on her honeymoon?
Yeah. I love when Scott just like puts you in the spot right there.
Am I going on her honeymoon?
Maybe he means there's like two weddings.
It's like, are you the groom? Then no, fuck.
I married you, Utah.
I don't know, he is Mexican. Like, that wedding is gonna last for days.
Oh, man.
No, seriously, you need to make this happen, because it's gonna be ridiculous. We all need to be in one place, and then we can do our live episode, which everyone wants, so we'll just do it.
I mean, yeah, I'll try to make it happen. We'll see what happens.
That sounds like a Donnie don't.
A what? What's happening here? Why am I being put on spot? I'd love to go. I mean, that'd be sweet, you know? I'll probably be trading the whole time, though, just so you get...
Well, that's fine. Listen, we'll have accommodations for you, so you won't have to worry about that. It's literally just getting there.
Oh, man. It's not just getting there. It's taking time off.
Oh, Lulu. I'm a baller, but again, they were taking
time off. It's one day. You fucking take Friday off. You leave Thursday night and call it a day. It's one damn day.
He's made all that money at Gen Con. Why can't you fucking make it strong?
There you go.
So much trading on value.
Anyways, moving on.
Anyways.
Tragically, we did start late because of, you know, the whole me not being able to get internet because my brother's technologically inept. But we got there. Admit it.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, thumbs up. But, you know, what else? Like, do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, I'm the only guy playing Limited here, and I'll have fun at GP Boston. I'll be leaving for there tomorrow.
That's tight.
Yeah, going to be pretty excited. I mean, I just want to mention that as I've been drafting, I'm starting to get... There's just certain things that more experienced drafters do that I never really took the time to care, which is like opening your first Jay. But like, Jay, do you actually like open a pack, like the first pack, do you actually care? Do you look far ahead and like, oh man, what am I gonna wheel? I don't really
I try not to like get attention. I try not to get hooked into that, because like then when you don't wheel that card and you're like, because like it's just like hate drafting, right? Like, like Magic never works in extremes. People tell you like, oh, you should hate draft these cards, and then people tell you, oh, you should never hate draft, and then people tell you should always draft the best card in the pack no matter what, and then people say you should always draft the best card for your deck no matter what, and like drafters are just bad at that. Everyone's bad at it. Everyone's bad at like that. So I try to consider like maybe like three or four cards that I feel should wheel in the pack. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I've actually started doing that with Cube a lot more, which is even like which is way more difficult because there's so many good like picks in the pack. But I find like that exercise makes me better at it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But you still pass up Upheaval, right?
Yeah. I don't pass Upheaval.
The other stuff I've learned, Jade, is what I've tended to do beforehand, because I'm primarily a constructed player, is I care about the signals that I pass, but I shouldn't like really give a shit about them. Like, what's more important is like what you're getting passed, and also to not overvalue the signals you're getting passed in the first two picks, because it could just be like your neighbor got like this insane bomb pack, and you know if you commit,
like, what if you got early, if you got a pack with three white cards in it, right? Like,
right. So you know, slight adjustment. It's making me much more successful at draft, and hopefully, I can day two. And not shit the bed on day two again. That'd be the worst.
Yeah, like I think the thing with drafting that I try for the most is just to I try to consider what might wheel, but not to like put too much stock in what'll happen down the road. Like Magic's constantly like that, right? You gotta always think a couple turns ahead, but then you also gotta be like prepared for like what if this guy doesn't do that? What if he plays this card? What if he main decked that card instead of playing a net deck? What if people are drafting this way instead of that way, right? So I try to do that, and then I just try to draft the best deck, and then like I don't worry too much about signals or whatever. And just like the biggest thing for me for drafting was learning not to get stuck in colors early.
Right. Same here.
That's the biggest thing.
You can even wait, because then you get, if you can tell the main color getting past you in pack one, you're going to get infinitely rewarded in pack three, and that's something that I've learned big time in my last couple of drafts.
Yeah.
I'm done. This limited port. I'm going to beat everyone on day one because they suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're bad. Man, what a drafter.
The new KYT, like, cocky.
Yeah, the cocky hitting on Heather KYT.
What?
Yeah, man, KYT hits on Heather like infinitely on Twitter now.
Oh,
I love it. I think it's awesome.
Big head Tom with big bottom head too.
Yeah, he's just like, he's like, do you know who I am? I'm KYT.
Motherfucker.
I guess I'm gonna have to adjust my expectations.
Yeah.
Is that like a fat chick joke, KYT? Are you being like a condescending Asian drafter? Is that what you're...
Somebody actually said that at Gen Con. They're like, oh, you're John Medina? Oh, I was expecting tanks and stuff.
Yes! Shout out to that guy. Oh, man,
you doucher.
Shout out to that guy.
Oh, man.
Tanks. I thought you were RoboCop.
Yeah, they thought I was RoboCop, man.
I think we can head to shoutouts.
All right.
Go ahead. I'll go last.
Shout out to Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because I'll be enjoying a sweet bowl of
that. It's the taste you can see.
Yeah. Man, shout out to our listeners for listening to my boring-ass stories this episode. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When I
if anybody didn't nap through this, holy shit.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't either. No, I didn't either.
It's ridiculous because Jay is like in the chat saying, oh, I'm taking a nap. Oh, this is shitty. Like somebody, and I just like want to claw my eyes out. Like when I'm trying to talk, I'm just like, oh, this is the worst. Like I'm trying to like keep an excitement like going. And Jay, I just pictured him just like not impressed. Like, come on.
Story about Gen Con. Got a pretty sweet deal on some bonfires from this guy that got arrested.
Oh, man. Yeah, so shout out to you guys. Thanks for sticking with it. Thanks for all the hate in the forums. Shows me I'm still awesome. Shout out to Rubdown King for getting married. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. And I got to shout out someone who came and like talked to me about the A-Team.
Oh, man, I put it in my email, too, so I wouldn't forget. Oh, right here. Shout out to James Hooper. Shout out to James Hooper. He came up to me and said the A-Team was awesome, and he listens every week. So shout out to you, buddy. I said that I would shout you out, and now you get a shout out.
His Twitter handle is at HooperLove. HOOPERLUV, all one
word. That guy's sweet.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's a cool guy. It's funny because I didn't. I don't mean this in a racist way, but I know the best sentences always start out that way.
Always start with, I don't mean this in a racist way.
I didn't know he was black. Like, I seen his Twitter picture, but in his Twitter picture, he's really light, I think. Like, it's really small, so you don't really get to, like, I never zoomed into it. But he came up to me, and he's
many black jokes.
So then when I, like, after I said I'd give him a shout, I looked at his Twitter and I zoomed in. I'm like, yeah, he is black. Like, check that out.
Hey, wouldn't you know, that guy is black.
Another surprising, well, you just don't know with the Twitter thing. Another surprising thing, what's it called? Marcel, right?
Marcel Wright.
You know Marcel from Twitter and from the MTG Cast Network, right?
Yeah.
So his name on Twitter is MTG Marcel, right?
Marcel MTG.
Oh, Marcel MTG. Okay. So on this Twitter icon, he looks super black, right?
Don't tell me but he's an Asian guy.
Plus, if you've ever heard three words come out of that man's mouth in sequence, he's 100% black.
Yeah, for sure. Black. However, in real life, he doesn't look black.
He's just like Filipino?
He's just like lightly brown. He's about as brown as me. And he came up and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I didn't really recognize him until he started talking. Like, I'm like, whoa! I'm like, is this Marcel? And then Jason all said, there he goes, yeah, you expected blacker, didn't you? I'm like, oh man. So yeah, shout out to those guys. Shout out to those guys. And shout out to
like brownish black Marcel.
And shout out to Jackie Lee, who also didn't recognize me because my Twitter icon does not, I guess, have a fair representation.
Hilariously, she referenced you as Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack, yeah, because I walked up to her and I'm like, because like before Gen Con, she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to Gen Con. I'm like, hey, I'll finally come say hi. She's like, yeah, that sounds awesome. So I'm just like, all right, yeah. So like, I see her and I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm Jonathan Medina. And she looks at me like, so? And I'm just like, oh, you know, like MTG Medina from Twitter. And she's like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm like, yeah, hey. And like, I just felt like an asshole after that. So I'm just like, yeah, so I'm going to go now. See you later, you know? So like on Twitter, I made it like a comment about it. And then she goes, well, if you didn't have Samurai Jack as your freaking Twitter icon, then maybe I could recognize you. I'm like, that's not Samurai Jack. That's me. So shout out to Jackie Lee for shattering my dreams and making me cry in my hotel room. And that's about it. Yeah, that's
building up your online persona is a misplay. Who would have thought?
yeah. Who would have thunk it? Polish tamale, fix that.
All right, KYT, go.
I'm just going to read one of the comments that actually made me laugh a lot. In regards to the TSG thing, I'd expect such actions from Medina, being Mexican and all, but from TSG, such a shame he had to resort to that. There were probably much better ways. Let me finish. He could have dealt with the money crisis. I'm sure he could have reached out to the community. He's such a beloved face of the game. If he needed help, I'm sure many of us could have pitched in. The community has done it before and could have done it again. But the past is the past. What's done is done. Fuck Medina. Let's all remember him as the man he was, not the asshole he turned out to be. So bad. I don't understand the hate, but...
He laughs. He's like, I don't even know why I'm laughing.
Like, it's the best.
This is the greatest thing about all the Medina hate on last episode. I wasn't even on the episode. And you just got this infinite hate. It's like, come on, guys. Oh, man.
Cranks up the comment count, so we're happy. Keep it up, guys.
Oh, so many
much hate, man. So much. It's funny. I got less hate when I was actually like writing about being a scumbag than just being on this podcast and talking. Like,
no, but it just like started randomly. Like at one episode, it just started raging.
It's because since he's on the show now, he's not like a respectful guest. He's like a dick ass motherfucker, piece of shit, garbage bitch who like stays at your house too long and like. You're like, you know, like when you say to someone like, hey, man, make yourself at home. What you really mean is like, hey, I like you. Sit on my couch and don't fucking touch anything and don't look at my wife and don't eat any of my fucking food. And no, I don't have any fucking beer for you, you piece of shit. That's what Medina's like. Medina's that guy who you're like, make yourself at home. And he's like, okay. And he's got his pants off already and he's three beers deep. And you're like, what the fuck? And he's like, hey man, I hope you don't mind, but I like fucking invited over some sweet bros to like have a sweet trade sesh with us, okay, dude? And you're like, it's fucking Wednesday. I have shit to do tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, I didn't think you'd mind. I gotta get up early, like at like 1:30 noonish, you know. Maybe get down to like the bank, see if I could get them to front me some 20s, you know. Get some food stamps. But you know, I just figured, come on, man, let's play some Street Fighter, bro. Let's get some NHL on. You're like, no, this is not what I meant by make yourself at home. Get the fuck out of him.
Whoa, man.
That's what's happened. That is what has happened to the
this 18. Might be last week. This just last week.
Oh, that was a good week. For those of you that were waiting for the rant, it just happened.
Oh, man. How can I take so much hate, man? How
just can in
I
case, take it? Inside yourself. Figure it out, fucker.
I think I'm just going to have some Cinnamon Toast Crunch and curl up with a couple of wads of $100 bills. Yeah, and
all just, nice. Those are my hundreds. Nice. You took them out of my fucking Chesterfield.
I did.
Let the Benjamins keep you happy, John.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
And then you ask the guy, like, man, you take my money. I don't want to ask you that, but like, you've been here a long time, and like, some money's missing. And then like, you get in this big blowout, and then fucking, and then he dies on the basketball court or some shit. You feel really bad, but you know, he fucking stole that shit. You know, he fucking tricked your kid into trading some fucking Star Wars foils for his bonfire so he could sell them on eBay.
We're talking about TSG, not about me, right? This whole wearing out your welcome, stealing your shit, eating your ice cream.
He's like oblivious. He's just drinking your beer. Like, what, man? I'll get you back. What the problem? I didn't know. What?
Okay.
It's so awesome because John didn't get a chance to get his TSG beeps in, so here he comes with
them
tonight.
Oh man.
My favorite Medina comment was definitely the one where the guy said, fuck, I haven't even turned this on yet and I can already tell there's too much Medina.
Oh man,
I love you, John.
At least somebody does, bro. At least somebody does.
All right, Jay, you got shout-outs or what, bro?
You didn't even start. I didn't even finish.
Yeah, you didn't even finish. It's your turn. It's still KYT.
Oh, Jesus.
Just shout-outs. Congrats for their effort, Team Canada. I know, you didn't reach your expectations, but it was pretty cool to see you guys. And, like, BDM obviously loves, well, not just Lucas, but the entire team, and Watsy does, because they got covered more than any other team in the first 2 days, as far as I know. So
yeah, maybe they'll perform next time. I mean, what, do they get a participation medal? Oh, you guys did all right, you know, good try guys. No, fuck that shit, man. You guys blew it, okay? Stop fucking around.
It's your turn, Jay.
All right, shout out to Kino Nishioka, who called me out for being the scumbag in my own scumbag story. So yeah, no, shout out to that guy. Shout out to Polish Tamales. That guy is actually pretty sweet. Whoop whoop. Shout out to Chris Plummer for lending me Cedric Phillips Living Death online. And then shout out to Nickel Bolas, who was too afraid to come and say hi to me at GB Vancouver, and then just shit talked the fuck out of me while we played Modern. Like, just shit-talked me the whole time, and I crushed him. And I was tired, so I had to take a break. Shout-out to Nina, Jesus Free Collingsworth, who is sweet. What else? I don't think I have any other shoutouts. I'm sure I got like a bunch of other shoutouts. Shoutouts to fucking gross spiders. And fuck you, Jeff, you scumbag piece of shit. That's Rockstar on Twitter, but with like a bunch of fours and shit. He just sends me pictures of like all these gross spiders all around his house and shit. All the time. Like, ooh, look at this big... Bleh, fuck you, fucking asshole. Now I feel like they're crawling on me and shit. Fucking dicks. Fuck you. Serve and protect. Bitch. That's it.
Oh, man.
All right, Doc, go ahead. You got any shout-outs?
I had no shout-outs, man.
All right. All right. Odd shout-outs. Okay. Episode 99. Wow. Shout-out to Wayne Gretzky, honorable Canadian that bears mentioning at least once during episode 99.
Shout out to his daughter.
Shout out to his hot shit daughter.
99,
yep.
Indeed.
All right, fair enough. Okay, let's see. God, I've got like this monstrous list of shout outs tonight. Shout out to Helen Bergeau for following me on Twitter this week. Yes! Shout out to everybody that watched the legit MTG stream this week. Shout out to Lucas for joining me. Shout out to a lot of the regulars. I'm looking at you, Robot Large, Polish Tamales, Carlos and Becca. You know, you guys are fantastic. Shout out to Heather at Revised Angel, because without her, I wouldn't be streaming at all. Shout out to John for supporting this whole endeavor. I'm really pleased to be on board as part of the team. Shout out to my brother, who's getting married tomorrow. Shout out to Wonder Woman.
Sucks. She's not even a superhero.
Whatever.
Isn't she like finally giving it up to what's his name?
Superman. From, yeah. Superman. That's the thing. Let's see. Shout out to everybody that tweeted at me today when I was having a rough day. That's awesome. Shout out to Smitty, because you're the fucking man, bro, and I can't really say too much more than that, but you're awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that's about it.
Shout out to Peter Woodmansey, who thinks that the 100th episode should be drunk and naked.
Yeah. No.
It's hot in Toronto. It's like a suede couch with a bunch of fat naked dudes on it.
I'd do that.
Just John Medina didn't even blink. I'd do that for you, bro. I'd do that. See, again, with the whole, yeah, he'll just like, I'll make myself at home.
That's fine, man. That's fine.
I'll stay at your house. It's cool. When's dinner, man?
I gotta work out first though, bro.
Yeah. You gotta earn the sweat. All right. So I guess with that, gents, we can call 99 a wrap. We're gonna take a week off.
At
least a week off. To make you sweat it. 100. We need to make sure that we're bringing you our best for 100, and we want to make sure that we're A, well rested, B, well salted, and C, well organized. Because we feel that for those of you that have hung along with us for 100 goddamn episodes, it's the very least we can fucking do for you.
Yeah, and if you can make it through, if you, like, 99 is like the seventh circle of hell. If you can make it through this, like, I'm surprised. Like, if Carrie Dan doesn't edit this down to like a 5-minute Medina-less cast, I would be surprised. But if you can make it through the 99, I mean, this is like a test. Medina. This is like the this is like the Grail quest. That's what this is. This is Indiana Jones.
I'm sorry. What can I say, man? It's boring shit, man. I blame Scotty. Why are you asking me questions about Gen Con? You know that was going to be boring shit, bro.
You know what? I do it just to kind of give you your own noose.
Yep. Yeah, yep. I hung myself in that one.
You did. All right, ladies and gents, have yourselves a fantastic week, and we'll catch you soon. Cheers.
Beep.
Drinks.
Bye, guys.
Cuckoo!
Yeah, I don't know if she's following me. I know that Brad Nelson started following me, which I was pretty pumped about.
Brad Nelson follows my wife on Facebook. Brad Nelson friended Alana on Facebook. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, man, maybe he's kind of like a creeper, you know?
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah, Brad Nelson the Creeper.
Anyways. Kyle, edit that in.
Do it. I'm not afraid of Brad Nelson. Hey, don't unfollow me, bro. I was just joking about that creeper stuff.
Oh, God.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 99 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, as always, with Mr. Scotty Mack, Jonathan Medina. Okay, I gotta do that again. That was...
Who's typing?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
Sorry.